How much is 100 billion? You know, we run out of numbers. How about 200 billion? How about 100 billion? There's no end to our praises of Almighty God and what He's done for us. I believe we're going to be learning about God as He reveals Himself to us through all eternity. I believe that's how great God is. We're going to continue to grow in our knowledge of Him. Would you turn with me this morning in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1? We're going to continue in our study of this book. We began this study several weeks ago, and just by way of reminder today that Peter wrote this book to exiles. They're the elect exiles of the dispersion. These are people who had to flee from their houses under persecution, flee from their communities, lost everything that they had worked for, had to start all over again. And this tremendous book was written to them as an encouragement. And in the middle of everything that they were suffering and the grief, and we know they were grieving because Peter spoke to that, and all the complexities and the complications of their life and where they would live, what they would do, how they educate their children, how they're going to handle things, learning a new culture, learning a new language in some situations. With all of that, Peter brings them into focus on Christ and Him alone. And that's what he said in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He said, bring your attention to Christ. So that's what this book is all about. We've been studying through these verses, and we've come to verse 10 here. Peter said that God has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. And then he goes to verse 10, and he says, concerning this salvation. So he's talking about everything we've been talking about for several weeks here. And then he begins, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Wow. We are not near going to get through that passage of Scripture this morning. There's so much there. But even the prophets who knew the Spirit of God was moving on them, knew their words were from God, they were wondering, what do these words mean? The angels were wondering, what do these words mean? Because the angels are not all-knowing. God is unfolding His plan before the angels as He is to us. They're wondering what it is. And Peter says, concerning this salvation, you now have what everyone else has been wanting to see. The angels and the prophets. We live in very privileged times. Privileged times. And this is what Juan R. Sanchez, pastor and council member of the Gospel Coalition, he wrote a commentary on this book, and this is what he says, very much down the line of what we've been seeing in the Scriptures. Christians can rejoice in their inheritance, regardless of whatever suffering they may face in this world. But not only that, Christians, as Peter will show in verses 10 through 12, can rejoice because they live in a privileged time. They are privileged to enjoy a salvation that angels can only marvel over but never experience. That's the times we live in. Oh, what great times these are. Now, I talked to an individual recently, and he said, Doug, I don't know if we should be bringing children into this world. Look at the world where it's at today. Look at where we're going. Should we even be bringing children into this world? I said, oh, yes, because times have been worse than we have today. I mean, I was 13 years old in 1963. And in 1962 and 63, that's when our Supreme Court voted to take prayer and the Bible out of education, out of the public schools. Then in 1963, tragedy happened. President John F. Kennedy was assassinated, 1963. I was 13 years old. I remember where I was at that moment. 1968, his brother Robert was killed. Robert Kennedy, and 1968, so was Martin Luther King Jr., killed. Then in 1970, there were riots against the Vietnam War, and at Kent State University, The Ohio Guard, National Guard, came into Kent State, killed several students who were protesting the war. First time that had ever happened. There were shootings. There were killings. The world was coming apart. Then in 1970, Ronald Reagan signed the no-fault divorce law that became a law throughout our country that opened the door for divorce for any reason at all. Never had happened before in the history of our country, demeaning the covenant of marriage. And in 1973, Roe v. Wade, now government funding for abortions, began to happen. I mean, just in those 10 years, 63 to 73, wow. There was so much going on in the world, so many terrible things, that when I became a Christian in 1974, the whole thrust of the focus was Jesus is coming any day. This has got to be the end. I mean, people were selling their businesses that I know in Denver. They were moving to Israel because they wanted to be at the East Gate when he came. You know, late great planet Earth. Hal Lindsey wrote this book and said, look out. Where the world is today, Christ is coming any time. No, we've been in worse situations than we are right now. In fact, these Christians were in much more terrible situations than we're in right now. They were fleeing for their lives. They were wondering about are they going to live another day? Were their children going to be taken? Were they going to be taken away from their families and their children orphaned? This is where they were at this particular time, and it's right to this particular time that Peter wrote this tremendous letter to them to encourage them about what we should be thinking about at times when we're losing everything. Loss is hard. These Christians were losing everything. What Peter said, don't focus on what you have lost. Focus on the things you will never lose. Those are the things of Christ, the things we can never lose. Because in this world, things come and go in this world, right? Oh, this world's full of trouble and tribulation, and we can lose everything in a moment, okay? But we can never lose anything that God has given us. Whenever people ask me, hey, Doug, how's the world treating you? I have one pat answer all the time. The world is beating me up, but God sure is good. Yeah, the world beats you up. But praise God, what we have in Him will never change. So we're not going to get past this phrase this morning. I know your notes go farther, but we're not going to get there. Because there's too much here. Concerning this salvation is as far as we're going to get today. Concerning this salvation. What are we talking about when we talk about salvation? Back before I was a Christian, bumper stickers were coming out. We'd never seen bumper stickers on cars before, but bumper stickers were coming out. One of the bumper stickers I remember seeing as a non-Christian was, Jesus saves. That meant nothing to me. I didn't understand what that meant. Jesus saves. Does he have a savings account? Is he saving for a rainy day? Jesus saves. I didn't know what that meant. Jesus saves. So the things we're going to be talking about this morning, for some of you, it's going to be by way of reminder. You know these things. You're living in this realm. You're experiencing the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. And praise God for a day of reminder. For those of you who don't know all of this, you need to know this if you're a Christian, so that we can understand all that God has done for us. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we pray that the things we're talking about will give you a hunger and thirst for God, and that you will be coming into the kingdom and receive Him as Lord and Savior. So we're going to look at four benefits of salvation this morning. These come out of Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, which is a great supplemental Bible resource. The Greek word soteria, salvation, encompasses these four particular things here. What did God do when He saved us? Jesus is our Savior. What happened? What does that mean to us? Peter says, concerning this salvation, number one, this word salvation means the spiritual and eternal deliverance granted immediately by God to those who accept His conditions of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. Number one, spiritual and eternal deliverance. Deliverance. Immediately given by God. We sang the song, Jesus does not leave one behind. He leaves the 99. Well, in that verse, if you look at the end of that particular passage of Scripture, it's Jesus said, all the angels in heaven rejoice when one person repents. All the angels in heaven rejoice. Why? Because they know what that means for that individual. They're in heaven. They live in the presence of God. They know what that means. We don't always know the significance of what that means, but they do. And there's a tremendous celebration every time one person turns to the Lord and repents. By the way, repent literally means to change your mind. That's what the word repentance literally means. Change your mind. Some people say, well, it means turning 180 degrees from the way I was going. Yes, that's true. When you change your mind, you're going in a different direction. And repentance means I'm changing my mind and I'm lining up with your words, Lord Jesus, because it's truth. I'm lining up with the truth. So when a person comes to Christ, we change our mind. I had big mind changes in my life. I changed my mind. I used to believe that all roads led to heaven. I believe that all religions ultimately believe in God and they'll all get you to God. But now I realize that's not true. So I changed my mind. Jesus, you are the only way, the truth, and the life. I changed my mind. There's nobody that comes to the Father except through you. I used to believe that if I just went to church and was a good person and did my best, I would be right with God. But now I realize I was wrong, so I changed my mind. There is no one good before God. And only through Christ and His shed blood am I made right with God. Changed my mind. I used to think that if I'd go to church and worship, I could live any way I wanted and do anything I wanted. God would be okay. God loves me. But now I changed my mind. I realize, no, He's got a way for me to live that honors Him. I'm going to do that. See, repentance is changing our mind and lining up with God's word. And every person that repents, puts their faith in God, God immediately gives them eternal salvation and deliverance. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. By which we must be saved. When Jesus began to teach these things, it was shocking to the Jewish community and to the world. Because up until that point, Judaism said, if you are a good enough person, if you follow the Torah, if you do these things, you're going to be right with God. Jesus said, no, that's not going to make you right with God. In fact, John the Baptist said, God is able to raise up from these stones, children of Abraham. That doesn't make you right with God because you have a heritage. When Jesus said, I am the only way, it shook the religious community of that time. Because you realize, I could not get right with God through good works. I can never be good enough to get into heaven. I mean, know that. I can't be good enough. Isaiah said, all of our greatest deeds, our best deeds, the best we can be, are filthy rags before Almighty God. We can never be good enough. And this is the truth and the good news that Jesus brought. No one can get to heaven by being good. Only through faith in Christ. Every religion in the world is based on what we do. Every other religion except Christianity. If you do these things, you're going to have 10 virgins in heaven and you're going to be okay. If you do these things, if you meditate enough, think more, most positive thoughts, you'll reach nirvana. If you do these things, then you'll get to this beautiful paradise. See, everything's based on works. And Jesus said, that's all meaningless. It has nothing to do with eternal life and truth, only through me. That was a shocking truth that he brought. Spiritual and eternal deliverance comes through faith in Christ. Turn with me to some scriptures this morning. One of them is Colossians chapter 1. Would you turn over there? The book of Colossians. One of my friends years ago, a new Christian, called it the book of collisions. He says that's where God's word collides with mine, my wants. But it's the book of Colossians, and Paul is writing to these Christians in Colossae. And look what he says here in chapter 1, verse 11. What are we delivered from? Well, one of the things that we're delivered from is the power of Satan. The power of Satan. In 1 John 5, it says, the whole world is in the power of the evil one. That's a tremendous revelation. You want to know why there's so much evil in the world? Why there's so much death and innocent lives being taken and cruelty and meanness and viciousness? Because the whole world is in the power of Satan, and that is his nature. Here it says, verse 11, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Stop there. Aren't you glad God has qualified you and you don't have to qualify yourself? Because none of us, no matter how hard we try, would be qualified to get into heaven. God had to qualify us. He, and how did he do that? Verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, the rule of Satan, and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. God did that. So that's one of the marks of salvation. He's delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness. Satan no longer has power over us. And he's put us into the kingdom of his Son. We're in the kingdom of God with redemption. God has redeemed us. He's bought us out of slavery to walk with him and forgiveness of sin. Turn with me also, go back to your left a little bit in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. And this is a little bit more detailed in what it means that we're under the power of the evil one. Here in Ephesians 2 verse 1, Paul is writing to Christians, and he says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air," that's another name for Satan, "the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of body and mind." A little bumper sticker years ago said, if it feels good, do it. Carrying out the desires of body and mind. "And we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." We were in a hopeless condition. Dead to God. Oh, but I love verse 4. "But God." You know, whenever you have go through the New Testament and you see "but God," circle that. Because when God comes, it changes everything. Here's our desperate state, "but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." This is what God has done. This is the salvation that we enjoy. Part of our salvation, the eternal deliverance from sin. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to an individual, and they realized they needed to give their life to Christ. And so I went to Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. It's a scripture that I go to a lot in praying for people to come to Christ. And it says basically there, if you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a promise from God. But it doesn't just say, just believe in Jesus. It says, confess him as Lord. That means you are now the boss of my life. That's what it means to confess him as Lord. Lord is spelled B-O-S-S. Okay? You're the boss of my life, and I'm going to follow you, not what I want, but what you want. Confess him as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. He died for sins. He rose from the dead, confirming he was Almighty God incarnate. He had the words of life. When you put your faith in God that way, you will be saved. And that's the first benefit, is an eternal deliverance from the power of Satan. So that's one benefit of salvation. Consider this salvation, Peter said. Number two, it also means the present experience of God's power to deliver from the bondage of sin. So not only does God deliver us from the domain of Satan, he delivers us from the bondage of sin when he has come to us, when we enter into salvation. Romans chapter 6:14 says, "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace." And earlier it says, yield your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but yield yourselves to God as instruments of righteousness. Okay? So we no longer have to obey the passions of our flesh because of what Christ has done. We are free from that, and now we can walk with God. Very, very important to understand. I didn't understand that when I was a young Christian. And so I had a lot of things to change in my life, but there were some things that I didn't think I needed to change. I was very sarcastic. I could vent my anger. I could be irresponsible. And my excuse was, well, that's just the way I am. I mean, when I get mad, I vent. I just say what's on my mind. I just give people a piece of my mind. That's just the way I am. You know? Or when I don't like what's going on, I hibernate. That's just the way I am. I go to my man cave. That's just what I do. That was my excuse. And I know no one else has ever used that excuse here, but that's what I used to say. And one day God spoke to me and said, Doug, that is the way you are. That's not the way I want you to be. We can't use that excuse, that's just the way I am as a Christian, because we have the power over sin. Sin will not have dominion over us. We can change everything that God wants us to change, that He's designed us to change. Turn with me, just so you know I'm not just coming up with this. These thoughts, turn to Galatians chapter 5 many, many times in the New Testament. Just a couple here. About the freedom, this new life that God has brought us into through His salvation. It's the work of salvation that Christ has done. We have a new life to live. It says in Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So there's a war in every Christian, the flesh against the Spirit. And I love this verse. What I love about it is what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, stop gratifying the desires of the flesh, and you'll walk by the Spirit. Because that'd be a negative focus. Don't do this, stop this, quit this, and then you'll walk by the Spirit. No, it says, walk by the Spirit. Begin to do the things that God wants you to do. Begin to live the way God wants you to, and you won't gratify those desires of the flesh. We have power over that. Sin will not have dominion over us. We have power to change. Power to change. How many of you are praying for somebody to change and become more like Christ? Yeah. How many of you know others may be praying for you in the same way? Because when we change and become more like Christ, everybody's blessed. Because He came to give us life. Look what else it says in Galatians 5, verse 24. And those who belong to Christ, not everybody, but those who belong to Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We put it to death. We stop it. We have the power to do that. If anyone says, any Christian says, well, I just can't do what God wants me to do, that's a lie. Either you're a Christian and you can do it, or you're not a Christian and you will never be able to do it. Because apart from God's power, we can't change. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I was talking to another person here a while back, and this guy was struggling with pornography. He says, I cannot quit. I just can't quit. I said, sure you can. Are you a Christian? Yes. Do you believe in Christ? Yes. Has He changed your life? Yes. Then you can quit. You can crucify that thing. Those of you who know me know that I had a terrible porn problem when I was young. Terrible. But I haven't looked at porn for 44 years. I don't have to. I don't want to. Okay? That thing has no hold on me. No drugs, no alcohol. There's a time in my life when I didn't think I could go a day without drinking. I mean, how can you live without drinking? Well, you know what? I haven't drank for 44 years either. And you know what? There's a new life there. We can never say, I can't, if you're a Christian. We have the power. Sin will not have dominion over us at all. Look at another passage here. Colossians chapter 3. There's one more in this particular point. Colossians 3. So many encouraging scriptures here. But this is what God brings into our life with salvation. This is what the word means. We are saved. We have a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. All those terms. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things of earth. So we have the power, because of God's Holy Spirit within us, to set our minds on the things of God and not on the things of earth. We can stop ourselves from thinking bad thoughts and start thinking thoughts in God's direction. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, He's our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. See, we have the power to do this. Sexual immorality, impurity, that covers a whole lot of areas, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. You know, it doesn't matter how much society said these things are okay. They're not okay. The wrath of God comes because of these things. Even some parts of the church are saying these things are okay. They're not okay. Years ago, a guy came to see me for counseling. I'd never seen him before, and I have never seen him since. But he came in to see me, and I said, what can I do for you? And he says, well, I'm separated from my wife. I'm having a hard time. And I said, okay, let's talk about it. I said, do you go to church anywhere? He said, yeah, I go to a church up here in the county, another church. I said, why don't you go to your pastor? He said, I did. I had three sessions with him. I said, then why'd you quit going? He says, because that pastor told me that God understands my needs while I'm separated from my wife, and I can have sex with other women, and I can go out and just meet my needs because God knows that and he loves me. And you know what that guy told me? He said, Pastor Doug, I don't need that kind of counsel. Wow. My respect for him went right up. Even in the church, doesn't matter who says they're okay, they're not okay. The wrath of God is coming. And listen to what it says here in verse 7. In these you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Oh boy, that's a big one for me. Okay? I had to learn English when I became a Christian. And do not lie to one another, seeing you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Oh boy. So this is the life we have because of salvation. This is what's encompassing in salvation. This is what Christ has done for us. So God has delivered us from the power of Satan. He's delivered us from the power of sin in our life. And number three, he's delivered us from the wrath of God. The wrath of God. We read in Ephesians that by nature we are under the wrath of God. You know. Because all of us by nature are lawless. Sin is lawlessness, the Bible says. None of us like rules and like laws, right? Last night, Bill Swope fixed a little bit in the foyer there. He put a piece of board there so we don't trip over that ledge where the tile is. And some of the guys came over and the sign says, do not step on this piece of wood. And what do some of the guys do? They press it just to make sure it's okay. It says, don't step on the wood. But we say, why not? It feels good to me. We're lawless by nature, all right? We don't like rules. We don't like signs. We don't like people telling us what to do. That's why we need law enforcement. That's why we have speed limit signs. Deliverance from the wrath of God for believers to be executed upon the ungodly at the end of the age. Turn with me now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Very important verse here. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. Now concerning times and seasons, brethren, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Oh boy, a lot of you ladies that are pregnant, or were pregnant, have had children, you know about labor pains. We've had six children, and I was thankful I was at the birth of all of our children. And boy, I'm telling you, my wife, when we had two children, she was getting to where she knew the program. She knew the labor pains were coming. So we had our bags packed and everything. And so she says, Doug, I'm starting to feel a little funny. We better get to the hospital. And then the labor pains came on in the car. And she is screaming, clawing at my dashboard. Doug, it's coming. Doug, it's coming. I'm heading to the hospital, running through red lights. Sorry to say, I was pushing myself through, making sure no one was coming. She is clawing everything, screaming at the top of her lungs. The labor pains came on suddenly. I got to the hospital. I jumped out of the car, got a wheelchair. I don't know who parked my car. I left it running out there because this was an emergency with a capital E. I'm running her in the wheelchair through the hallway. She's screaming to the top of her lungs. Ah, it's coming. People were getting out of our way. As I was running to the delivery room, we weren't there a few minutes and boom, there comes Angie. Labor pains come on suddenly. Even though you know they're coming, it's sudden. But, I love the next verse, but you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. So he's talking about Christians. He's saying, no, Christians aren't going to go, oh no. They're going to go, finally. And that's going to be the difference. It's not going to be, oh no, I wasn't ready. It's going to be, thank you, Lord. Here you are. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. See, we got a new life here in Christ through salvation. Having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope, the living hope of our salvation. And then the next verse. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And you get up in the morning, if you can't think of anything else to praise God for, praise Him that we're not destined for wrath. Praise Him for His presence. Praise Him that Satan does not have control over my life today. Praise Him that I don't have to follow my passions and ruin my life and everybody else's. Praise Him for the new life that we have. Get up in the morning. Great way to start the day. Since, therefore, you have been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. So we're not called to wrath. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus said, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. When we die as a Christian, we're ushered into the presence of Almighty God because of salvation. All of this is encompassed in that word. That's why Peter was saying, Christians, even though you're under very difficult times, concerning this salvation, let me talk to you about this. We're delivered from Satan's power. We're delivered from the power of sin. We're delivered from the wrath of God. And then fourth and lastly, this word salvation sums up all the blessings bestowed by God on men through Christ by His Holy Spirit. Okay? So salvation means everything that God has already given us. I believe, and we say this oftentimes here, the Christian journey, our walk with God, is a journey discovering what God has already given us. He's already given us. In 2 Peter 1, it says that we have all we need for life and godliness. We already have all we need for life and godliness through His precious and very great promises, through which we escape the corruption of this world. It's all there in 2 Peter. We already have all we need for life and godliness. Ephesians chapter 1 says, because of the salvation we have, God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Past tense. Past tense there. We already have that. When we grow as Christians, the reason we have Bible studies, the reason we get together, the reason we encourage each other is because we're growing in our knowledge of all that we already have in God and what Christ has really done for us. That's what salvation is all about. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Years ago, my staff strongly encouraged me to get an iPhone. I'm not very techy, and it's taken me a long time to learn the iPhone. About 3 years, I've been on a big learning curve here, right? My kids have helped me. Thank God for children. But they came to me and they said, Dad, do you know what that iPhone can do? No, I don't. I call and I leave voicemails. That's all I do. That's all I need. Leave a voicemail. No, Dad, you can text on that. No, my thumbs are too big. Oh, no, you can learn. So learn to text. So I learned to start texting. I love texting. Dad, and we can talk to each other live with FaceTime. What's that? Oh, Dad, you're going to love it. Hey, I'm the FaceTime grandpa. I love FaceTime. You know, I'm in counseling sessions sometimes, and one of my granddaughters not too long ago said, she FaceTimes me. I say, just a second. I look at it. She goes, Grandpa, look, I lost my tooth. Oh, that's great, honey. Okay, I'll call you right back, all right? I love FaceTime. Dad, there's so much you can do. It's got GPS. Yeah, you can talk to Siri. Who? Siri. My wife calls her my girlfriend. All right, Siri. You know, where's the nearest restaurant? Siri. And there's maps in there. No, I had everything. I didn't even know what I had. So I'm learning what I have on that iPhone. Dad, there's maps on there. If you want to go someplace, use Waze. Waze, W-A-Z-E, Waze. I had never heard of Waze. Yeah, let me show you here, Dad. It'll give you directions wherever you're going, and you can use famous people. They'll talk to you and guide you. What? Here, let me show you, Dad. So they set my phone up with Mr. T, okay? So I get directions. The first time I use, I'm getting directions, and here comes Mr. T. Turn left, sucker. Turn right, you fool. I mean, kind of makes traveling fun, you know? It was all right there in my phone. I didn't even know what I had. Wow. And then the other night, I'm in an elders meeting, and we had to text somebody, so I said, I'll text. So I'm texting a big paragraph there, and I hit something I don't know what I hit, and it's gone. You know, I think, oh, I don't want to text that over again. And Brett Payne, one of our elders, says, Doug, shake your phone. Shake my phone. I shook it, and up pops this little window, says undo. I undid it, and there's my text again. Shake your phone. I didn't know that. Oh, no? Now you know. You can do that. Okay, you lose something on there, shake the phone. I didn't even know what I had. You know, this is exactly what Christianity is. We have so much in Christ that He wants to do in our lives. We don't even know what we got. We're learning. That's part of our journey with the Lord. That's part of other Christians coming and saying, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. It's part of building our faith and our confidence in Almighty God. Isn't our God great? Boy, years ago, almost 100 years ago, a woman by the name of Helen Limmel was visited by a missionary, and that missionary gave her a little pamphlet, and the pamphlet simply said, focus on it. Focus. And it meant, whatever you're going through, focus on Christ. She took that and she started praying, and God gave her a hymn. She wrote many hymns, probably over 500 hymns this woman did. But one of her greatest ever, she came from that little pamphlet. And here's what the words say. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Wow. She understood what we're talking about here. His word will not fail you. His promise. His word shall not fail you. He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. You know how we can tell His salvation is that we grow in our knowledge of what it is. The more we know what salvation is, the more we are able to tell people the good news of what Jesus did. Isn't our God great? Okay, we're out of time. Let's bow for prayer. We'll continue next week. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we give you thanks. Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you for this morning. And again, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that we're learning. We're lifetime learners. We're your disciplers. We're pupils sitting at the feet of the master, learning the truth about God and about life, about your will and your design. Learning the truth about a life that's abundant, where there's healing in relationships, and restoration and reconciliation, where there's love and joy and peace, patience with one another and kindness. It all is in you, Christ. Everything we need and have is in you. And thank you that your Holy Spirit lives within us and brings that to life within us. Lord, we thank you for these things. Lord, you know every person in this room, and you know the needs that are represented here. Physical needs, emotional needs. Some are grieving with loss. Some have fear and anxiety about the future. Some are at a time when they're really at peace. They're really understanding your presence. Others are searching for peace. Lord, you're able to meet every need in this room. Comfort and encourage and strengthen and heal as only you can. For we are yours. And if there's anybody in this room or listening to this message by another means, and you've never come to Christ to embrace him as Lord of your life, to believe his words, to put your faith in him, this could be the first day of your salvation. Don't leave this room without giving your life to Jesus Christ. And we will pray with you following this service. Talk to you about what it means to be a Christ follower, a disciple. We honor you and thank you for these things, Lord. Thank you, Father. And we receive the moving of your Spirit on our lives, too. Increase our faith this morning and help our unbelief. Thank you that you do that. And now, Lord, just receive this last song as we lift it up to you. And we thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.